Daryl Ryder is our Browns beat reporter. He's with the team at Greenbrier in West Virginia, and he's brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
Daryl, you have been all over this story since the beginning of the story. What are your thoughts on this?
I don't think it's going to get it done. Not with a 30-year lease. I don't know that funding is going to be sufficient enough to extend the life of that building another 30 years. The people that I talk to have told me that a renovation to Cleveland Browns Stadium would add anywhere from 10, 15, maybe 20 years of life to that building. I think that going for a 30-year lease extension, I'm not convinced that the funding the mayor is proposing is going to be sufficient enough. Is it sufficient enough to complete the renovation that the Browns have proposed? Potentially, assuming that the Browns receive the commitment that they're looking for from the state of Ohio as well as Cuyahoga County, you're looking at a $1.2 billion project with the city finding funding for about $461 million of that. So there's a sizable chunk of change that still needs to get filled in. Now, keep in mind, the Browns have offered to cover 50% of that cost. I did find interesting in the mayor's proposal turning the Willard Garage and the Muni Lot revenue over to the Browns on game day to help cover the capital repairs associated with the stadium. So that's not additional revenue that's going into the Browns' pocket. That is just basically a funding mechanism for these renovations. So I have reached out to the Browns. I have not received any comment. Obviously, it has been a very busy day here at the Greenbrier with the events that happened involving running back Dante Foreman. So their thoughts are obviously with him right now, but I do expect to hear from the Browns at some point regarding this proposal from Mayor Bibb.
Daryl, don't you think this is something the mayor just kind of had to do to say, bottom line, hey, I gave it my best shot and we tried to keep the team and the ownership wants to build this dome?
Well, yeah, and the other part of this, Jeff, is the fact that he wants an answer by the middle of August. So it's what, 2 weeks away, just off the top of my head? Okay, so it's less than 2 weeks away. He's looking for a yay or nay from the Browns. And I can tell you this, the timeline now is starting to move, okay? They are getting closer to making a final decision about whether or not to renovate that stadium or to move forward with the Brook Park Dome. They have been expecting, I can tell you, this from the mayor, maybe not so much the details, but they had been expecting a proposal from the mayor as far as what the city of Cleveland would be able to do regarding that stadium. The mayor certainly accomplishes his goal of not dipping into the general fund, not adding any tax revenue to the mix here, right? Any additional tax revenue, I should say, to the mix is a funding mechanism and whatnot. So, and the mayor made it very clear in his statement this morning that this was his ultimate goal. He did not want to add any further tax burden to Cleveland residents to fund stadium construction within the city. So he accomplished his goal. I just don't know if this proposal is going to be sufficient enough. But again, I can tell you, I expect this stadium situation to move very quickly here in the next couple of weeks with the Browns making their final decision and then ultimately beginning the process of moving forward to get whatever they decide to do funded so then they can really begin the planning process for actual construction to begin.
Daryl, I thought that was interesting that you saw that the garage part of it and the Muni lot, because I thought that part of this whole renovation of, the lakefront even would include getting rid of the Muni lot that we've talked about on It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, where you've just said it's gone, man. That Muni lot's going to be history.
Yeah, that is an interesting twist to this whole thing, because when you looked at all the proposals that were out there from the city as far as lakefront renovation goes, both the North Shore lot, the West Third lot, the Muni lot, all of that was set for development of some sort. So this is a new development. The fact that they are, you know, the muni lot apparently is now going to stay in play. Now, that's not to say that they don't find a way to maybe add a little development around that muni lot. But again, all of those, you know, proposals and whatnot that I have seen, some of the renderings that the city has put out there regarding lakefront development. Yeah, I mean, you know, the muni lot had buildings in it. The muni lot wasn't there. There were buildings and parks and all those type of things. So that is certainly an interesting new development. Another thing, though, that I think it's important to point out here, that let's, and this is an important detail for the Browns, do they want the lakefront and the area around the stadium? Because obviously one of the concerns is, you know, getting in and out of that place, right? You know, the timeline is for a renovation to have that all done and ready to go by the preseason in August 2029, right? The lakefront's not going to be done by then. The lakefront is going to be a construction zone for the next 10 to 15 years. So do the Browns, that's the other tentacle to this, not just the financial components, not just the overall scope of the project, but the surrounding areas, right? And, you know, that's just the reality. That lakefront is going to be under construction for the next 10 to 15 years with the city of Cleveland, assuming they actually move forward with some sort of lakefront development. And is that something that the Browns want to even entertain and deal with? Remains to be seen.
Daryl, I have two thoughts for you here. I mentioned the 30-year lease before you joined us. I couldn't agree with you more on that. That makes no sense. If that were the case, by the time that lease is up, that stadium will be 55 years old. And the old place that we thought was just terrible was 64 years old when it closed. So, I mean, so that's one thing. Is this a possibility? Remember the Bears bought the racetrack out in Arlington Heights, and they bought their own land, and hey, it's our way of twisting, and we're going to build our own thing out here. And the city of Chicago wanted to renovate Soldier Field and everything else. Well, what happened? The Bears decided we're going to move downtown and we're going to build a new stadium near Soldier Field and stay downtown. Is it possible that the city and the Browns agree to build what the Browns want in Brook Park in downtown Cleveland, and then the Haslams just either don't follow through on the options that they have to buy all that land, or if they've already owned it, and I don't know if it's finalized, they just sell it or redevelop it? Could that whole project end up downtown?
No, there's nowhere to put it. That's the land acquisition is far too complex. I can tell you that they have explored that option, okay? And that's ultimately what led them back to the Brook Park site. There's nowhere to build downtown.
I drive out Opportunity Corridor, Daryl. There looks like an awful lot of land that could be put to better use.
You might want to talk to the clinic.
There's the Opportunity Corridor. That's not downtown Cleveland, though, Jeff.
Well, it's in the city limits, though, Daryl.
Yeah, this is the other part of it, too. And
there's only one way to get there. Yeah, there's only one freeway, 77. So,
well, there's only one road to get to the stadium, East 9th.
Well, it's marginal, actually. Western. That's the only way to get in there. The other thought that I always had, and again, I think this is kind of off the grid for what's going on today, but why couldn't Brook Park and Cleveland do another land swap like they did with the IX Center? I mean, if you're worried about these lines of what's Brook Park, what's Cleveland, I don't know. It seems like it's too much politics to get it done at this point, but that could possibly be on the table too. Like, I still have concerns how is Brook Park going to, you know, have what they need the way the city of Cleveland has to be able to run a game, you know, police-wise, paramedic, all those
tax
things.
Tax revenue.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Bend the line.
Yeah. I'm not the mayor of either of those cities, and I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know if that's, you know, feasible at this point to maybe undo that land swap from, what was it, 20, 25 years ago when they actually swapped the Ford plant for the IX Center, and ultimately that ended up being not such a great move for Cleveland.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that right now where they're at, like, this ball's starting to roll down the mountain. Okay.
So this is moving quick now. Now it's going to move quick.
Yeah. Yeah. If the mayor's looking for a decision by the middle of August, we could have a decision within the next 2 weeks. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that's exactly what's going to happen, but if that's what the mayor has requested from the Browns, you know, it stands to reason, right? So that, you know, maybe we do have a decision, and a project to move forward with by September.
I just, the feeling I get from all of this information that's coming out today is the city is doing its due diligence, but right. I mean, the 30 year part of it makes you say, yeah, you know what this seems like? This seems like the Indians trying to negotiate with Jim Tomey, knowing that Jim Tomey had a gigantic contract, that there was no way, and maybe they were a little scared that if Tomey would have said yes to the deal they gave them, that they were going to have to figure out a way to pay for it. This is what it feels like.
And keep in mind, the $461 million package is over 30 years, right? That's another component to this. And I don't know that that's going to be enough money to maintain that stadium for the next 30 years, right? Because, I mean, all these problems they have to fix as it is. So the city has done what the Browns were looking for. They've made their pitch. The ball right now is in the Browns' court. And like I said, as soon as I get a response from the team, I will certainly pass that on to folks.
Daryl, Deonte Foreman update. What are you hearing?
Yeah, so just one of the more awful scenes you'll ever see on a football field. And I'll be honest with you, I was pretty much right in front of it. And it looked like an innocent enough play to me. And then I noticed, you know, Foreman was sitting upright. A couple of trainers came over. They appeared to be having a conversation. Foreman was moving his arms, touched the back of his neck. That went on for about 2 minutes. And then all of a sudden, you could just see the Browns medical staff go into their emergency protocol mode. They immediately called for the cart. They got it out, got the board out, immobilized him, put him on the board. Kevin Stefanski was right there as all this was going on. J.W. Johnson was right there as all this was going on. And the next thing you know, they had him in an ambulance. And then right as practice was wrapping up, the medical helicopter arrived to take him to a medical center in Roanoke, Virginia. What I have been told is there's not any serious life-threatening concern. More so, that was the fastest. Roanoke is the closest medical facility to be able to handle what needs to be handled with this situation. And getting in there by helicopter was the fastest way to do that. So, expecting further updates as the day goes along. But the good news here is he was moving his extremities. That is a very positive thing. The team said he suffered a head-to-head blow on that particular play that caused him to experience neck pain, which then obviously triggered their emergency medical care protocols for him. But just one of those awful scenes. Right after practice ended, Kevin Stefanski gathered the team in the middle of the field. They all took a knee, held hands. They said a prayer for Foreman. Just a really awful scene. You never want to see a player carted off. You certainly never want to see a player have to be rushed to a medical center by helicopter.
Daryl, and just from your vision and what you saw, did something change after he was sitting up for a couple of minutes? Or did they, like, did his body change, or did they just decide, we better do this?
I think it was just based on the communication, you know, between Foreman and the medical staff there with the information he was relaying to them, that they ultimately, you know, went into that mode of, we have to get him immobilized and, you know, get him to a medical facility as quickly as possible to make sure that he's okay.
And again, they're going to go to medical extreme, right? They're gonna do everything possible. So, you know, making sure they got a helicopter in there, and they're not going to take any chances on anything, right? Protocol,
right? Yes. It's just, yeah, this is just all part of the protocol. You know, obviously, if there was a hospital that had some of the things here in this area, they would have just taken him via ambulance. But because they had in, Roanoke was the closest facility to be able to deal with whatever it is they need that medical facility to be able to deal with. They got him out there by helicopter.
All right, Darryl, just before we let you go, I just want to circle back one more time on this story. So, again, the news of the day is that the city of Cleveland now has a counter proposal to try to keep, or I guess a proposal. I don't know if it's a counter proposal.
It's the proposal to keep the Browns in Cleveland, correct.
Okay. And the general feeling of opinion from, I would say, I think we're kind of on the same page, that just it's... because it's a 30-year deal, that might be some of the city of Cleveland saying, "Hey, we wanna." But Darryl, we've talked about this before. Does the city of Cleveland really want to be in the landlord business, or is it time to move forward on that too?
Well, and also another component of this is the Browns would not pay rent in the building anymore, and I think they're paying $250,000 a year, which is a drop in the bucket there. But they would cover, I think it was taxes and insurance on the stadium, as I guess you could call it, their new rent obligation or whatever. Here's the thing. Again, what has been impressed upon me by folks that I have talked about, specifically about that building, is that it has a shelf life. That shelf life does not include 30 years, okay? The renovation that the Browns would like to do for $1.2 billion would extend the life of that building anywhere from 10 to 15, potentially 20 years. I don't know, and I don't have the confidence to tell you and Browns fans that what the mayor has proposed today will be sufficient enough to keep that building up and running for the next 30 years.
Darryl, as always, thank you very much. Excellent work. And, of course, updates on the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland podcast that you've been doing great reports on, and we'll be hearing you throughout the day, and we'll be checking out all the information you're giving out there. So, Darryl, thank you.
You bet.
All right. He is Darryl Ryder. He's our Browns beat reporter, and he has been on top of all of this. I mean, for months, we've been talking about this on game day, like almost every other episode, about what's going on, even if it was just a little tidbit of information about what we're trying to find out as far as what's happening next with the stadium situation. And that's where we sit right now, trying to figure out what's next. I do think it's interesting that we are now talking about a timeline that the city wants to know by August 12th from the Haslams. And I think Darryl's right, Jeff, that this thing's going to start flying. So we're going to start feeling. But there's also funding issues. There's a lot of stuff that goes along with this. But we are finding out today a little bit more about what could happen and where the Browns could end up be playing. Will it be Brook Park? Will it be downtown Cleveland? Maybe we're going to get those answers a little bit faster than we thought. 216-474-0092. I want your feedback on this. I mean, you saw what the mayor put out there. We'll tell you more when we come back.